Do you have any questions? Yeah.
I've often wondered where in the course of a person's practice, uh-huh. when clearly my mind is just a distracted mess, when to stop and actually really cultivate this practice.
Okay, so in our practice, when do we really stop and cultivate this? I think that we can do some meditation every day if we want to on this, but again, because we don't have all the conducive circumstances, you know, improve your concentration, but don't worry if you're not going off into, you know, samadhi for 15 hours, okay? But try and develop your concentration a little bit day by day, okay? Uh-huh.
A quick question. So subtle laxity is a lot like samadhi. How do you know, what's the difference in?
Okay, so if subtle laxity can be mistaken for samadhi, how do you know if you have it? You have to be really tuned in and to be able to see that the intensity of the clarity isn't there. Yeah? So you have to be able to see what it's like when your mind is really bright and, you know, and the clarity, you know, your mind's very, very clear. And to be able to tell the difference between that and when that clarity is slowly, slowly starting to go. Okay? So it you know, involves some introspection and some familiarization with how our mind works. It's the same way as, you know, learning about anger. At the beginning, you know, we only figure out we're angry when we're yelling and screaming and throwing something. Yeah? But then gradually we develop more and more sensitivity to our mind and we begin to be able to catch the anger much quicker. So it's kind of like that. For us, you know, the hindrance of subtle laxity, you know, that's not the one that the beginner worries about. Okay? Okay? Yeah? So try, you know, at the beginning, The big ones are the gross forgetting the object, okay? So we really want to focus on, you know, trying to keep the mind on the object. And then the gross attachment, you know, and lethargy, you know, the big ones, yeah? And then as you get the big ones under control, then, you know, your introspection is brighter, so it's easier to pick up the subtle ones. Okay? So it's like this with so many things, you know. We hear the teachings and, you know, from gross to subtle. And, you know, we always want to, like, get rid of all the subtle things because we don't want even the tinge of whatever negative thing it is in our mind. But we can't even notice the subtle ones because we can't even notice the gross ones, you know. So we have to kind of start out where we are. You know, and be practical. Okay? Yeah?
So this use of the word equanimity.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
yeah, there's many different kinds of equanimity in Buddhist practice. So this is the equanimity that just lets the mind be instead of applying an antidote. The equanimity in the Four Immeasurables is different. That equanimity is being free of attachment, bias, and hatred. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
One of our 35 viewers.
Wow! 35. Welcome, everybody.
Venerable, I find it difficult to bring an image of a Buddhist life, so is it okay for me to use an image of his holiness?
Okay, so somebody's saying, I find it difficult to visualize the Buddha. Can I use the image of his holiness? I would think so. Yeah? I would think that would be okay. I haven't heard any of my teachers say anything definitive about that, but it would seem to me that would be virtuous. I mean, if you have that kind of heart-to-heart feeling with his holiness and you want to make that connection, And so doing that with His Holiness, I think, would be okay. Don't do it with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah? So, yeah, His Holiness is an exception here. Yeah. Okay. Other questions? Yeah.
You were talking about the gross laxity. Kind of the word that came to my mind is it seems like it's out of focus. That I've lost that, that it's just kind of the object of the meditation is blurry. Is that?
Yeah. Okay, so you're asking about the gross laxity. Is the object of meditation kind of blurry? The mind is blurry. Yeah, the mind is blurry. The mind is not clear and distinct. Yeah, so it's not that the Buddha all of a sudden gets fuzzy around the edges. It's the mind is indistinct. The mind is, yeah?
I would say that, like, sometimes I notice some subtle lack of being, it's about 1/10 of a second before I start falling asleep. Like, this is kind of nice.
Okay. Yeah, that's not actually even subtle laxity. That's the gross laxity.
There's like a moment before it goes there where I feel calm and I feel nice, but there isn't any focus really.
That's the gross laxity. Yeah. When you kind of feel calm and nice and pleasant, but your mind isn't really focused, that's the gross laxity. And then, like you said, one more moment, and you're falling asleep. The subtle laxity is much more difficult to recognize because there is focus, and you are on the object of meditation. It's just the mind, the energy, the clarity of the mind has gone down somewhat. But as you meditate, you begin to watch how your mind works, and you begin to see, like you noticed, before there's, you know, real heaviness in sleep, there's a moment of just feeling kind of peaceful and spaced out, yeah, which is very pleasant. Or you get sensitive to your own mind and you can begin to see the mind go like this, and you know that, you know, excitement's going to be coming soon, yeah? You aren't off the object of meditation, so it's the subtle excitement, but your mind's starting to, you know, let's see what I could go think about. Yeah? Okay. Of course, and what I find so interesting about this thing is we can go from being very drowsy and the body and mind being very heavy to being very wide awake and alert on an object of attachment. And then go right back to falling asleep. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? You know? And you really see it has nothing to do with how much you slept the night before. Yeah? Because you can be really like this, and then, you know, that 15-year-old boyfriend and, you know, or forget the 15-year-old one, you know, you start with your current one or whoever you're trying, you know, or you're on pizza, you know, or chocolate ice cream or, you know, whatever it is. And boy, the mind's awake, isn't it? Yeah, visualization, good. You know exactly what's on the pizza, don't you? You know, it's not some kind of, you know, blurry pizza and blurry mind. It's like the mind's wide awake. And you know, if it has mushroom, if it has green peppers, you know, if it has a thin crust or thick crust, don't you? You know, if it's hot or cold, the visualization is very clear. Yeah. And then, you know, then the next moment, yeah? I mean, it's very interesting to see how that works, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
We have another question. Here, I have a question. How does one overcome negative thoughts that arise during meditation, especially when they are constant?
When they're what?
Constant.
Okay, so how do you overcome negative thoughts that arise in meditation, especially when they're very constant? So here I'm assuming the person is referring to thoughts of anger and hostility animosity or ill will, malice, wanting to harm somebody, this kind of stuff. Yeah, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? That's why there's chapter 6 of Shantideva's book, and why there's working with anger. You know, we just first of all, we notice it, that the mind's getting very negative. You know, it may be negative, like I was saying, in the form of jealousy or anger and resentment. It may be getting negative in the form of complaining. But if you look, the complaining mind has anger in it, doesn't it? It's not just complaining. There's anger there. So the mind's complaining and whining. And the mind that's very judgmental, picking at everybody's faults. There's a certain kind of anger and resentment in that mind too. Isn't there, you know? The mind's just sitting there reciting a litany of other people's faults. Or of our own faults. Sometimes the mind gets negative about ourselves. You know, and I'm so bad, I'm so terrible, look what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So, I think the first step is to notice that. So this is that mental factor of introspection or alertness that says, my mind is getting negative. You know, I'm having a lot of animosity. Or, you know, you can refine it. You don't have to leave it as a general animosity. But figure out, is it judgmentalness? Is it whining? Is it complaining? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it resentment? Is it anger? Is it hatred? Is it rebelliousness? Is it spite? Is it wrath? You know, kind of, there's all these different degrees. And so really kind of figure out exactly what it is. It can be very helpful to notice that. Okay? And then the antidotes, you know, the general kind of antidote to this type of mind is the cultivation of patience. And so patience is the mind that is able to endure suffering or endure harm without getting out of whack and without wanting to retaliate. Okay. So to develop patience, the method that I found so effective is the thought training teachings. Okay? So like in the Wheel of Sharp Weapons or the 7-point thought transformation, the whole practice, my mind tends to go towards complaining. You know, there's some situation that's happening that I don't like. Either I don't feel well, or somebody's not doing what I want, or who knows what. So my mind complains, yeah? And so then this practice of transforming adversity into the path that's found in the thought training. And I find that one extremely effective, yeah? And so what you have to do when the mind's getting negative like that is totally reframe how you're looking at the situation. Because when our mind is negative, we're looking at the situation from this little bitty periscope of me, I, my, and mine, and taking everything very, very personally, you know, and everything is I-focused, yeah. When you're practicing thought training, you're reinterpreting the event, okay? And like, okay, I don't feel well, or somebody's not, you know, things aren't happening the way I want. This is a result of my own negative karma. Yeah, I'm glad this negative karma's ripening, because if it didn't ripen now in this bit of discomfort or whatever, then it would ripen as a horrible rebirth in the future. And you really ponder that. And then you say, okay, I have some pain in my body, I have some mental unhappiness, things aren't happening the way I want. It's due to my negative karma. It's getting purified now, this karma is getting consumed, it's not going to ripen in a bad rebirth. And compared to the pain of a bad rebirth, this situation that's happening right now is quite manageable. Yeah, when you think about it, whatever our mind is complaining and whining about, compared to the suffering of a lower rebirth, our present problem is nothing. It's nothing. We can breeze through it. Yeah? So we reinterpret the mind. Because you see, our present problem, we can make that problem as big as Mount Everest, by the way we look at it. Or by the way we look at it, we can see that it's something quite manageable and there's no need to get upset. And the whole thing depends on our mind, how we look at it. Yeah, the whole thing depends on our mind. Okay? If our mind's getting very judgmental of other people, yeah, switch the mind and start thinking of other people's good qualities. If you're starting to put yourself down, then remember your Buddha nature and your own good qualities and generate the aspiration to develop them. You know? So this doesn't mean becoming arrogant over our good qualities, but it means recognizing that we have them and we can cultivate them for the benefit of all beings. Yeah? If we're having a lot of hostility come up towards people, then do the meditation remembering the kindness of sentient beings. Either their kindness to us in this life, or seeing that they've been our parents and their kindness to us in previous lives, and really see how much we depend on other sentient beings to be, you know, for our own happiness and just to stay alive. So actually, you know, all these thought training practices are very effective. But actually what I think is really good to do is don't wait until you have a negative state of mind to practice them. Yeah, start on a regular basis to train your mind to look at what's going well. And start to train your mind on a regular basis to recognize your own good qualities without getting arrogant. To recognize other people's good qualities and disband the judgment. You know, do some meditation very regularly on the kindness of sentient beings. Do some regular meditation on how they've been our mother and they've been kind to us as our mother. Meditate repeatedly and very often on how they want to have happiness and don't want to have suffering. And how they're sometimes overcome with their own ignorance that makes them do harmful things, but they really don't mean any harm to anybody. It's just that their minds are overcome with misery and unhappiness. Okay, so if you do this kind of meditation very regularly in your practice and you come back to it again and again and during the day, you know, when you're walking around seeing sentient beings, train your mind to think like this. If you do that, then the force of the negative thoughts in your meditation session automatically, you know, decreases. Because you're developing a whole new attitude towards life and towards your relationships with other beings. Yeah? And it makes a huge, huge difference. Yeah? So train your mind. Every time you see some sentient being, instead of the mind, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, or what do they think of me, do I fit in? You know, train your mind of my enlightenment depends on that sentient being. Because to attain enlightenment, I need to have bodhicitta regarding every single living being. If I leave one of them out, I can't attain enlightenment. So my enlightenment depends on that squirrel. Okay? Yeah? My enlightenment depends on that cockroach. My enlightenment depends on my boss. My enlightenment depends on this screaming kid. My enlightenment depends on this person who betrayed my trust. Okay, so you keep bringing it back again and again, you know, to really seeing the power of the bodhicitta and the kindness of others. And then in that way, you know, gradually the force of the negative and the frequency of the negative thoughts is going to decrease. Okay, but you got to do the meditation a lot. Which means you got to get up off the couch, onto the meditation cushion, and then also in your break time when you are on the couch, continue thinking like you were on the meditation cushion. Okay? Okay, so we have to stop now. So next week, I'll go into the 9 mental abidings that lead up to the attainment of serenity. And then that will complete this section on serenity. Okay. So we can dedicate.